Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So on Monday, the United Steelworkers kicked off their We Supply America bus tour. They kicked off in Burns Harbor, Indiana, went all the way across Ohio, into Pennsylvania, Virginia, North Carolina, all talking about, hey, we need to build things here. We need to manufacture stuff. If we're going to rebuild our country, if we're going to build back better, we got to do it with American products and American workers. And here to share some thoughts and highlight this We Supply America bus tour, I've asked Roxanne Braun to come talk with us. Roxanne's an international vice president there with the United Steelworkers. Roxanne, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks, Rick. It's great to be with you.
So why kick off in Burns Harbor, Indiana? I don't think most people can find Burns Harbor, Indiana. What's there?
Well, what's there is local 6787, where we have steelworker members every single day working at Cleveland Cliffs, making the steel that goes into a lot of our infrastructure systems. Beyond our infrastructure systems, that steel also goes into some of our weapon systems as well. But this campaign is about how steelworker members supply America. And we thought the best place for us to kick that off would be at the House of Steel at 6787 Cleveland Cliffs in Indiana. And it was a great event.
No, I saw the video, and I saw Secretary Walsh, Department of Labor Secretary Walsh speak. I saw, the Congressman Marvin speak. My good friend Scott Paul spoke there as well. It was a well-received event. Lots of people, good crowd of workers, and people looking proud of the products that they make. And I think we should be doing a lot more of this. I'm glad you guys are doing this, but this is something we should be doing all the time, highlighting the fact that our workers make some of the best products in the world.
Absolutely. And, I've been saying that this campaign and what we called it, We Supply America, is a bit of a battle cry, to be honest. I think oftentimes when people think about infrastructure, because that's really what we're talking about with this campaign, they think about the folks who build the bridges and the roads and such, which is just as important, but they forget about the supply chain and the people who are supplying the parts and the components that go into these systems, our infrastructure systems. And so this is really our battle cry, that steelworker members across the country, including in Burns Harbor, provide the products and the components, whether it's steel, cement, brick, rubber, glass, chemicals, because coatings is a thing. All of these parts supply all of these systems that are so critical that help to run a nation. We Supply America. It's our battle cry right now.
Absolutely. And not just, supply the things we need, but maintain communities with good paying jobs that allow a community to thrive. And when the factory closes, we know what happens. Opioid addiction goes up, poverty goes up, all of the horrible things. So for me, the idea of reinvesting in manufacturing, reinvesting in our supply chain, which has been, you look at what's happened over this pandemic, it's been magnified how broken our supply chain is. This is the exact time we need to be talking about this.
Exactly. And to that point, today was stop number four for us in Danville, Virginia, and we were at local 831L, which is a Goodyear local. And our folks at that facility make bus, truck, and aviation tires. So that's our transportation infrastructure. But to your point about how these jobs and these facilities sustain a community, Goodyear is the largest private employer in Danville, Virginia. If that facility were to be not there anymore, it would be devastated. The jobs that sustain not just the families, but help to lend to the tax base in that community, to help to make sure that there are schools and libraries and hospitals, it would be gone. And so we want to make sure that what we do with this campaign is to help push what's happening in Washington over the finish line, so that type of investment that you just mentioned is happening and continues to happen in facilities like Goodyear and U.S. Steel and Cleveland Cliffs and Corning and other facilities where USW members work around this country every day.
No, my entire life, you know, we've always kind of puffed up our chest a little bit and say, you know, we're the global leader in manufacturing. In fact, if you ever been to Trenton, New Jersey, there's a bridge there in Trenton that says Trenton makes, the world takes. Sadly, that I can't say that definitively as we once could in the past, because we've allowed companies to move overseas or to China or wherever. And this infrastructure bill for me is an opportunity, I think, to kind of maybe reset some of that. The fact that Joe Biden has said we have to have very strong Buy American provisions, and we're going to rebuild our country with American-made products that are going to create American jobs, seems to me to be kind of a reset to move us back towards, well, you know, what my grandparents' generation built, the most prosperous working class in the history of civilization.
I totally agree. And just so you know, Rick, I'm a New Yorker. I'm from New York, so I know that bridge in Trenton well, and I know that slogan very well. And it really does capture a lot of what we've seen across our sectors in the steelworkers. You know, unfortunately, we've become intimately aware and well-versed in trade policy because we've had to, use our trade policies to help ensure that there's a level playing field for our workers and their industries over the years. And you're right that, you know, this $1.2 trillion infrastructure package for physical infrastructure is a huge, once in a generation, really, investment in infrastructure with $600 million of new spending. That's huge. That's something that we've been calling for a long time.
Decades.
Infrastructure. Decades.
Decades, Rex.
You know, decades.
I've been saying it for the last couple of days. It was 14 years ago that the I-35 bridge collapsed. And it was a decade before that that we were talking about we need to invest in infrastructure. So while $1.2 trillion sounds like a lot of money, the fact that we've neglected our infrastructure this long means that it's really not, and we need considerably higher. In fact, you know this as well as anyone. The American Society of Civil Engineers puts that price tag somewhere around, if I'm not mistaken, $4.6 trillion. Not 1.2, exactly. But $4.6 trillion. And that's just to get to about a B-minus, not even to that's the right. A grade.
That's right. No, that's exactly right. Infrastructure has been the meat that Congress has left on the table for decades, as you say. And so that's why we have this campaign, We Supply America, to really try to, again, push as much as possible and support this effort that is working its way through Congress, not just the $1.2 trillion package, but that $3.5 trillion package for the social and human infrastructure that is just behind it, because it's not just about making the things. It's about the people who support a nation. You know, you mentioned the pandemic. We're still in this 18-month period. We saw what happened when we have a social and human system that is not supported, that system cannot effectively support a nation. And so these two packages together, for us, critical to get over the finish line. Necessary for the American public, necessary for American workers, necessary for American industry, and necessary for American communities.
No, something we most certainly need. And over the next couple of days, you're going to be traveling around. Friday, you're going to end up in Pittsburgh. Tomorrow,
Pittsburgh.
You're going to end up Thursday in North Carolina. If people want to follow along, see where you've been, what you're talking about, uswvoices.org is the website. uswvoices.org, the website. Now you're doing this to raise awareness, and that's great. We need that to happen. What are you hoping comes out of this? You know, we're going to have these great events, and I'm a big fan of events. I'm a big fan of bus tours and all of that stuff. But what are we hoping to gain on the other side come Monday when people go back to work and the bus has been parked? What are we hoping to grab?
I think a couple of things. You know, a big part of this campaign is education. Whenever you do a bus tour or anything like that, it's about education. And again, on the first piece, education is for policymakers so that they can make a very clear connection to steelworker jobs, I'll say USW jobs and infrastructure, because oftentimes when people think of our union, they really just think about steel because we are, that's our name. But
you
really
represent nurses.
We represent everybody. Nurses. We represent school bus drivers. We represent folks at American Water. We represent folks at National Grid. So it's not just the, you know, the components and the things that are going into these systems that I talked about, but it's the folks who are servicing these systems too, that we represent. And so this is an education about the full scope of the steelworkers. I've been saying it's our commercial for our union about all of the work that steelworker members do every day. So the first piece is hoping that policymakers make the connection to how many jobs are connected to this bill so that they see that it has to get done. Secondly, we want our members to know when they hear infrastructure, when they hear policymakers talking about this bill, when they hear you, Rick, or others in the news talking about this bill, that they know that it's their jobs that are being discussed. And third, we want victory. You know, come fall, we want to be one of the ground troops that help to secure victory and make sure that we have both of these bills passed and ultimately signed by President Biden.
No, and we desperately need it. And not just from the political side. I mean, the political side, the Democrats do absolutely need this to pass if they're going to be competitive in 2022. But as a country, we desperately mm-hmm. need this. You know, mm-hmm. you know, for years I've been saying, you know, someone should do an app for people's phone that every time they go over a structurally deficient bridge, it sends a notification saying, hey, call mom. You might not make it to the other side. But, you know, and I made that joke 15 years ago. So we're in this moment where we desperately need it. So let me ask you, as someone who pays a lot of attention to this, what do you think the chances of both bills passing? Do you see maybe one or the other or both? How do you see the jockeying of getting this through happening?
You know, I will say a lot depends on what happens now that the Senate bill has gone over to the House. I think Speaker Pelosi has been pretty clear about the path forward that she wants for these bills, that she wants, she will not move one without the other. And again, it's because she recognizes how critically important each of these pieces are. We never thought about social infrastructure before COVID. Never thought about it because we never had to think about it. We only thought about the physical infrastructure, like you said, the bridges that are deficient, the dams, the locks, all of these things, the rivers that need to be deep, all. We never thought about the social infrastructure. We can't not think about it now. Well, so I think because of that, it's clear that both of them have to move. And so I have a lot of faith in the speaker. She's tough.
Yeah, I hope both of them, I hope they do both move because we desperately need them. But I might push back a little bit on the fact that we never thought about social infrastructure. I think we did. I mean, I go back to, I grew up, you know, during the Reagan years. And, you know, the construct of anyone getting help through the social compact, you know, the welfare queen and the, you know, the poor small family farmer who lost his farm because of the estate tax. We did focus on social infrastructure, but we were focused on destroying it. It's now when more people actually needed it and realized how insufficient it really is that now I think we have a different viewpoint. And I think it's a good thing.
I agree. I definitely agree. I like your nuance there. And I think the same thing applies to the supply chain, because the supply chain and the loss of domestic manufacturing is something that our union has been talking about since the 80s. But again, this period when we saw that we didn't domestically have the PPE to help our nurses and our doctors, Americans had an aha moment that, holy crap, we've sold our industries to other nations. We make nothing here.
That's it.
So I think this whole period has been an awakening. And I think it's been a rejiggering of the way that we think about these concepts of social infrastructure and supply chains and the need for them. So, you know, I think the pressure that we're still in, because now we all thought that we were emerging from this thing. Now we're in a new phase with Delta. I think that will put additional pressure to make both of these bills actually move through Congress. And so we'll see, you know, they'll be back in the fall. They'll be back in a couple of weeks here in September. We'll see what happens, you know, but I think we have a lot of hope that this process will work its way through, and we're going to do everything we can to make sure that it happens.
Yeah, hope but fight. Let me last question I've got for you, and I'd be remiss if I didn't ask. Will parts of the PRO Act be in this infrastructure? Is it going to remain there? I know they can only do probably some economic parts, but we desperately need people to be able to join and form unions, because I think there's an aha moment here for working people right now, that they saw how vulnerable they were, that now maybe this is the time that we see an explosion of organizing and people joining and forming unions, if only we had laws that were helpful.
I think it remains to be seen. You know, I think there certainly is a massive campaign that the AFL-CIO was engaged in. And, you know, to his credit, and God rest his soul, Rich Trumka, I mean, was the champion of the PRO Act and pushing the PRO Act as hard as we possibly can, and through Congress, and ultimately hopefully getting it signed into law. We'll see. I think it remains to be seen how this process unfolds, but I do think it's telling that this administration included it in the American Jobs Plan, which was this administration's infrastructure plan, that it said that the right to organize is a critical piece of this nation's infrastructure. It meant that family sustaining jobs are a critical piece of this nation's infrastructure. And so, we joined with our brothers and sisters in labor to continue to ask Congress to include it in this package. And I think it remains to be seen what happens.
I'm hoping, and I've been pushing as much as I can, because I do see that if we could get some reform, and I don't think we're going to get everything in the PRO Act, but at least something that's going to help a little bit, that it's going to give us a fighting chance. Sadly, if we don't, I fear if nothing comes of it, this opportunity may pass, and we may be left behind. And that's the thing that's concerning me. As much of a pro-union president as Joe Biden is, and I love that fact about him, if we don't change the laws, it's going to be very difficult for us.
We 1,000% agree with you, Rick.
But again, I hope folks will check the website. Make sure you follow the bus tour, the We Supply America bus tour done by the United Steelworkers. Go to uswvoices.org. We'll get links out on social media on how you can follow along. Roxanne, I appreciate you taking some time for us. Always great stuff you guys do. Get out there and keep spreading the word, and solidarity to your members.
Thank you so much, Rick. Thanks for having me on. Have a great night.
You too. Thanks so much. Again, Roxanne Brown, International Vice President of the U.S. Steelworkers, uswvoices.org, the website. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. The talk.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.